Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Last fall, our returning champion, Glenn Fisher, and his business partner, Nick O'Connor, teamed up with mega financial publisher MarketWise for a bold experiment. They offered free training in financial copywriting to 12 people who competed for the spots. There were 500 people who applied, and then 12 were selected. And of those 12, four were offered jobs, Glenn says, and two are being mentored by the financial copywriting legend, Mike Palmer. You know, in many stupid businesses, when something works, they immediately stop doing it and decide to try something else. Lucky for you, our listener, MarketWise is anything but a stupid business. They know a good thing when they see it. So they decided to keep working with Glenn and Nick and run some more programs through 2026. And Glenn's back on the show to tell us what they learned and what's next and how you might be one of the lucky 12 in a future cohort. Right after I tell you this, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you're writing, if you make extreme claims and you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Glenn, welcome back, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David. It's a pleasure to be back on, and I owe you a thank you, I believe, because I understand one of the people who got hired, offered a job by MarketWise, came to the program through our last interview. The last time we spoke, they saw the message out there. They applied just sneaking in after the time limit. I think it was slightly over the thing because we tried to get it out as soon as we could. But they made the cut, and then they made the ultimate final cut into the job, the dream job. So thank you so much for attracting your listeners and providing MarketWise with one of their new copywriters.
Oh, you're welcome. And as I've always said, Copywriters Podcast helps you get great jobs. No, I've never said that before, but
you could start saying that.
I can say it now, at least based on a sample of one. So, no, really, thank you for mentioning that, and that should give hope and inspiration to everyone who's listening and watching today. You know, I'd love to hear your most interesting memories about this program. I mean, it was unique, as best I could tell. I know of another financial publisher who I shall not mention who started something else that went in an entirely different direction and hardly ever delivered them any good copywriters. So you guys seem to have found the secret sauce, or at least the recipe.
Yeah.
What happened? What did you guys do? What did you learn? What were some interesting moments? Walk us through that.
As thanking you, David, I kind of need to thank everybody who applied and just put an application in, and also all 12 of the students that came into the FCU for that first class. Mm-hmm. Because, and I don't mean that just being a polite Englishman, which I might may or may not be.
Okay.
I'm not so sure how polite I am normally. But the biggest thing, indulgently, I'll say first of all, that I learned, or rather the biggest takeaway for me, was the amount I learned, and I think it's the same for Nick. We learned so much about how to coach and get people through, get them from various different positions. Some came into the group understanding what direct response copywriting was, understanding who MarketWise were and kind of what it all entailed. And some we received every application on its own merit, but some we were fully aware were not aware of the industry at all, did not understand finance, did not understand really direct response copywriting as we know it, but came in open minds. And the whole group, one of the three things, I'm saying the three things, I can't quite remember the other two, but one of the three things that we wanted people to show during that was progress. We would rather take on someone who knew nothing in week one and knew lots in week 12 rather than someone who kind of knew it all at week one and then still knew it all at week 12, because we're not kind of making any progress. We're not showing like an upward curve we can get there. But every single student showed enormous progress, and providing they all continue to learn and continue to study what we kind of set them on, I see no reason why they all can't have very successful careers in the direct response industry. So that was my biggest takeaway, was for me to see, A, how much when you open your mind, when you try and approach things from different perspective and see different copywriters' take on things, you can learn so much about what it is we do, how to tell people more about that. So that for me was a huge takeaway, and we've changed slightly how we teach things, but fundamentally
I'd like to hear more, but I just want to jump in and say I remember at one point, well, I had a lot of trouble learning copywriting, and I was able to, but I wasn't sure it was teachable to other people. And when I finally realized that it was, that like opened up a whole new world for me, that there were ways to do it, maybe not necessarily widespread or known, but definitely doable. So that's a really interesting insight. You guys, in your own way, in a very specialized and, you know, highly desirable niche, found the same thing. What else do you find out? Can you remember any particular anecdotes or success stories?
I think the biggest, like, if I speak on behalf, I mean, we got feedback from all the students, so we kind of had, and we did a kind of exit interview kind of thing, if you like, where we asked, everybody was very positive, but we kind of pushed to criticize us as best they could, and we really want to kind of learn and be open to like things in the future. But I think one of the things that, speaking for the students, that surprised them probably, and I kind of expected it, but yeah, it was good to see and have confirmed, was just how much time we spent teaching the idea process and how little of it was about the writing. I think last time I was on the show with you, David, we were talking about the importance of the idea and how if you haven't got that, then there's not much you can kind of do with a copy. I found it fascinating that people coming into the program, and particularly those who had perhaps got experience of direct response copy, had maybe worked in some of the kind of the bigger companies, your Agoras, you kind of this, that whole world of similar titles. Mm-hmm. They were surprised by how we kind of rewound a little bit and went so deep on ideas and how we think about that. And then after that, it's just, let's review some copy and like get the stuff up on screen and keep kind of chiseling it away. So that was interesting. When you say the biggest anecdote, my favorite bit was giving one student, you mentioned about one of them. So we four of the students were offered full-time positions by MarketWise, and we sat and went through each one to tell them they'd kind of got in and we would like to offer them a job. And then we told one of them that we'd organized it for Mike Palmer to be mentoring him. And there was a physical reaction that he stepped back when we said this. He was so surprised that it got in and then to deliver that. And that was I'm a pretty cynical, emotionless guy generally. But that was like, wow, that was nice. So it was nice to see that spirit. But yeah, I think it was just, again, just seeing everybody's, the beauty of copywriting and particularly of this niche, which is a difficult one. There's very few writers globally who kind of are fully in the game, but to see the creativity, to see the thinking was enormously rewarding. We did a webinar kind of announcing vaguely, we're quite ramshackle and shambolic in the way we approach things, but we kind of announced the opening of it. And we did a webinar where Nick made a claim, what was a bold claim, to suggest that writing direct response copy, particularly in the financial niche, was not only the most financially rewarding type of copywriting, but the most creative. And that's going against agencies and writing billboards for nice household name brands and all this kind of stuff. And I think the perception of direct response in the broader copywriting industry is often that it's not as creative for some reason, that there's more limitations. And I think often
Yeah, because it actually has to do something. It has to get a result.
But yeah, you have to do something. You have to do some work, which is the problem. But when you have to, the creative and looking at things. We had one student who was not experienced in finance, but was experienced in psychology. And she thought about how the reader, the audience, would feel and think about the world and about the information that we were trying to share with them. And she found a way to lean into her strength and her approach, took what, obviously, researched and found the areas that she didn't know as much about, so some financial details and what a bond might be or what kind of options trading is and all these kind of details that we can be intimidated by. But she was able to, because she used her strength and her side of creativity to come from it from that kind of secure place, she was able to be much more creative than maybe someone who's kind of long in the tooth, been writing financial headlines and making bold claims based on nothing for a long time. So it was just nice to see all of that across so many different people. We had people from all over the world, even in that 12, let alone the people who applied. So yeah, so it was a genuinely nice experience. It was rewarding for me and Nick because we learned so much about the process. It's rewarding for MarketWise. They've hopefully got 4 great new copywriters, and hopefully for the other, exposing my math, the other 8. Is that how it works?
8.
The other 8. I feel like they had a good experience and 12 very intense weeks. We had 3 kind of full, like 2-hour calls a week. That was intended to be 1 call a week where it was like me and Nick reviewing copy, and then the other 2 either side of that day were intended as like kind of office hours. It ended up that we were all on all 3 calls almost all the time because there was a sense that, oh, actually, this is good. Like we're all kind of moving forward. So it was a very nice experience.
Yeah. So one thing I'm really interested in personally, and I think a lot of our viewers, listeners would be interested in too, for their own personal reasons, is just starting from scratch. 3 months, I mean, that's not a long time to learn anything. What did you learn about how people succeed in a 3-month training starting from scratch? Did you come to any conclusions? Did you develop any first principles that you're going to use in the trainings in 2026?
Yeah, so we kind of, I mean, we tried to head off as much as we could. We had no idea the experience of the people that would be coming in. And it's worth pointing out, especially to anybody who might be listening or watching who is more inexperienced. Obviously, those who are more experienced, and you might work in similar circumstances but want to get to a place like MarketWise maybe. And that's fine, and you'll know things, but you probably have to maybe unlearn a little bit to come through the system. But we do think about those who are completely new to it on the basis that both me and Nick and many of the most successful copywriters came to copywriting, and specifically straight into financial copywriting, without any financial background, without any awareness of what copywriting was and what have you. And it is a long process, don't get me wrong. It took like a year at most. I think Kelly Brown, the copy chief at MarketWise, said 18 months she's seen on average. It probably took me a year to write the first like control promo when I started. And I know the same was for Nick. So it is a long process. And everybody that got offered jobs, we kind of made that clear that even though you're experienced to a certain extent and you've shown good instincts and you've written some good stuff and your ideas are strong, it still might be another year before you have any success. So we're very aware of the fact that it's a slow process. The whole concept of FCU is to try and be more efficient, I would say, in like kind of getting rid of some of the dead weeks when you're not doing anything, taking away from a copy chief who might be trying to manage 12 people rather than and write copy themselves and run the business and do all that stuff. So we kind of can streamline it a little bit. But what we kind of noticed for those most new to it, I think we can, there's a combination. I think you've got to be, we say you've got to be curious, And we're starting to kind of unpick that a little bit now, because it's become a slight cliche in the sense that it's slightly overused in the copywriting industry, that it's like, oh, number one thing is you've got to be curious. Everybody's curious. And I think a lot of copywriters say they're curious, but then they don't, you ask them like, so what's that based on? They go, I don't know. So you haven't researched, you haven't gone and dug into that. And that's fine. We all do that on occasion. I think what you need to teach yourself, or what I would advise people to be teaching themselves independently of anything like FCU, is that kind of training your curiosity muscle. So when you do go, oh, I'm not sure about that, go and dig and go and find out about things. And I think you have to be doing that all the time yourself, and have some kind of desire to find that stuff out, to want to practice that. At the same time, what we realize that the biggest setback, or the biggest hurdle for most new people into the industry, is really quite kind of almost like a technical thing. They can't get access to the editorial and the ideas and what you are actually writing about. So therefore it all becomes a bit abstract. And that's probably why you do lean on existing promos. So it's fine to read a promo every day, but then you'll just write promos without understanding that there's something deeper behind them. So we found that
could you drill down a little bit on that more? That is so interesting, because I think that really expands to all kinds of copywriting.
Yeah,
I mean, so you're looking at the end product, but if you don't see what it came from to begin with, you don't understand, oh God, I'm going to use an old Agora term from the Catholic Church that I hate called transubstantiation, but it's the important word, right? Don't understand how it came from this set of recommendations or this strategy from this editor, this guru, to a promo idea.
Exactly. And we kind of spotted that early on. Part of the program, we give a copy swipe file of some successful MarketWise promotions, of course, and we advise reading those, understanding those, analyzing those, critiquing those, figuring out what goes into the promo that is interesting, and on a copy level, on a persuasion level, what's going on there. But what we also provide, and what we kind of gave as our own criticism, because we have guests coming on each week, so copywriters who are working in MarketWise, like Mike Ford and Alison Camotto, and although you're not meant to say the T's, that's because I'm English, but anyway. But we have those people coming on talking about copy, and it's great. It's fantastic to get their takes on it. Everybody's got a different style. But what we didn't get this time, but we will do next time, was getting the editors to come and speak.
Ah.
What we did get was we gave an editorial swipe file. So we would give
Yes.
Like that, so that you can see, all right, okay, they're talking about uranium. They're talking about when they say that this is the best crypto, this is why, and this is what's going on. And I think understanding that and being as caring is not the right word, intrigued and interested and as curious about that stuff is key. Now, you can skip FCU completely, and I always like to make any advice possible, but if I was giving copywriters who are pitching, cold pitching companies and doing that kind of stuff, I would say, don't give me your money, like if we're selling a course or something like that, or don't give copywriters the money. Don't get me wrong, every copywriter, pay them, it's great. But I would definitely sign up, find the thing you love. If it's a health newsletter, if it's a financial newsletter, if it's something in any other niche, spend your money signing up and paying for that editorial. Because if you are able to then pitch a publisher, a copy chief, and say, hey, I read this newsletter that you wrote last week. It was about how, I don't know, Trump signed this new executive order that's going to change the way minerals are dug for in Alaska. I've written a headline lead that I'd like you to take a look at based on that. That copy chief is immediately going to put you to the top of the pile and go, oh my God, they've looked at the stuff. They know what's going on. That's interesting. So that for me is we probably didn't give as much access to the editors in person. We can easily and quickly change that. But definitely understanding that most copywriters, if you just exist in a kind of LinkedIn world of seeing other copy and talking to other copywriters, you miss the fundamental foundation of what we're actually there to sell, which is the editor and the opinions of the people in the newsletter. So I think that was a big insightful
moment. Yeah, that is big. I've never heard that before, and it makes so much sense. I mean, I remember when I was at Agora Financial, you know, they had this huge copy camp, but what I didn't realize, and maybe the guys running the copy camp didn't realize either, is every copywriter had access to all the products too, as did I, you know, as the copy consultant. But yeah, that is a huge insight that I think so many people, I mean, it's just common sense, but not everyone would arrive.
You said in your introduction about common sense, I've realized now I'm getting long in the tooth, but everything's common sense. It's more the, I guess it's the discipline to do these things. But if you go and speak to Mike Palmer, ask him the secret about copywriting, he'll say there is no secret. It's just, you just do the common sense stuff.
Although common sense is variable. I mean, some people say common sense isn't. That's kind of true. And some people have more of it than others, and some people have more of it than others in certain circumstances. What, if anything, are you and Nick going to do differently this time?
We're going to give a little bit more structure. It was intentional. I mean, we're two quite shambolic men, and you could argue it's a part of our act. It's kind not. We kind of make it up as we go along a little bit. We're very driven, but at the same time, very loose around the edges. However, it was slightly intentional that we want to see how writers will react when given freedom. Because one of the things that the likes of Bill Bonner, Mark Ford, and what have you, when you join their businesses, one of their biggest, greatest strengths we both found personally was that they just say, hey, go and do it. Like, figure it out.
Right. I mean, there's not too much structure in this world. You know, I came from the world of journalism, and there kind of is a structure. There's a deadline every day. There's a inverted pyramid and the five H's and the W. Yeah, five W's and an A. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of rules that you kind of, at least back in the day, followed. Copywriting, it's chaos every time in the beginning because it's new creation, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's like, in the same way like Picasso was painting like photorealistic images of like Venice when he was like 15 and learned the rules so he could then break them.
And exactly. And so how much of that do you focus on or will you focus on just kind of the universal basics of copywriting?
So what we've done, I guess when I say there'll be more structure, there is quite a, so we've currently got within the thing, we have basically 12 like fundamental masterclasses that walk you through the weeks. Mm-hmm. And those are delivered video wise, and that is from ideas to headlines to leads, and then gets into the kind of nitty gritty of like lift notes and ads and stuff like that. Those kind of foundational stuff. We have, alongside that, we teach like soft skills. So I might do a masterclass on like how to be a nice person, how to work as part of a team, how to overcome imposter syndrome, stuff that don't really get talked about, but is useful.
Oh, those are major. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone I deal with, including the person who's talking to you right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like if you want, and we want these people ultimately become members of staff in MarketWise, and there is a certain type of person that's going to be more successful. So we try and encourage that. Then other than that, we have basically you work on three headline and leads. By the end of the course, we want you to have three headline leads that you can submit to be kind of reviewed and seen by MarketWise to evidence your...
And if MarketWise says no to somebody else, right?
Yes, exactly. You can take them, they're yours, everything on the course is yours once you've done. But what we realized, and that kind of worked in the main, but because we kind of just went, yeah, that's what we're doing, I think some people do like a little bit of, I need this deadline by here, I need this deadline by here. So we'll probably... break a little bit up. What we also realized, and I got this, I was doing like a little night class I did on fiction writing, and they did little kind of writing tasks. So it might be like, imagine you were with a friend and they were either very tiny or very massive, and like write a little story of how you'd interact with them. And you've got like 5 minutes to do this kind of thing. But it makes you think in a much more creative, interesting way. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably do some kind of, introduce that kind of, a little bit more kind of creative writing tasks, just to push your mind in a slightly different way.
Not like, we've got a newsletter, but it's only this big, or we've got a newsletter and it's as tall as the Tower of London. Not like that.
I like that. I might steal that off you, David, as the task that you've
yours.
Got. That is 12 foot
You're
tall.
Welcome to all my silly ideas and any of them that happen to be good.
Sure. How would you sell that? Well, I don't know if it's an apocryphal story, but I read once or heard once that like Google used to ask people in their interviews, staff interviews, like, how many drain covers are there in California? And you'd be like, well, I don't know. How the hell would I find that out? And it's more the idea of how would you try and find that out? How would your mind try and figure that out? And then watch the person try and figure it out. That kind of element. I like that stuff. Me and Nick both like that kind of
Sure. So now we're kind of getting down to the root of the real curiosity that you're looking for, right?
Yeah. We're looking for tells of creativity, curiosity, something, if possible, something innate. And mm-hmm. I always go back to myself. Unfortunately, I am a self-referential, indulgent person, but it's a good example. I remember when I applied for my first copywriting job at Agora, I didn't have any clue what copywriting was, no clue what Agora was, none of it. I didn't understand any of it. You had to sell a suit in 500 words. I completely misread the brief, and I wrote a short story about how Jesus got his job as the Son of God. And I've told the story many times, but he had a nice suit, and he went for his interview. And
actually, that's pretty good.
God said, hey, you're a terrible carpenter, you're rubbish at this stuff, but I do like your suit. Even at that point, Jesus was like, no, I really like this suit. I don't want to give you it again. If you give me it, you can have the job as Son of God. So he does it. And then my suit that I was selling had come from years through the thing, and that was still...
Well, it's certainly creative, yeah.
It's creative, but the person who employed me saw something that even though I... Clearly, there wasn't a headline. Clearly, there wasn't a dear reader. This is what, but they saw that I'd gone, okay, if I have to persuade this person, how do I do that? I'm going to tell them a story. I'm going to create some kind of narrative around it. I'm going to dig into something different. There's something fundamental that goes, okay. And I think that's what you're kind of always looking for. That
like, so if you end up getting a lot of calls from London's best tailors, you can thank us. You can let us.
There you go. That's the. It's curiosity. I think the three things that we said we wanted to see was, I think it was creativity. I think it might have been energy, because I might have taken the Mickey and mocked Nick for saying energy, but energy of like, go get in, we want you to like be engaged, we want you to get involved. We have like a Discord group where everybody can go and talk, and it became a real nice group. Some people were oversharing, that's fine, I'm an oversharer myself, but that group was nice, so there was an energy there. And then we want to see progress, the ability to receive feedback. Kelly Brown uses a good word, which I'll steal, and she says that she notices those in the team at MarketWise who are most successful have the greatest resilience, because this game is just feedback.
Sometimes it's a little challenging. Yeah, good. So we're just about out of time, but tell people, if they want to apply, how should they do it, and what's the deadline?
So we have a nice longer run up, considering how disorganized we often are. You can apply now. If you go to financialcopyu.com, you will find all the details and the way you can register there and send in your submission. The deadline is the 31st of January, 2026. Take your time. Do not, like, the sooner you submit it, the more likely we're going to notice that it's wrong. Take your time. Think about it. You've got all the rest of this year, or however long when this goes out. That's the deadline, and then the next class will take February to figure out the 12 that will be taken in, and we're starting on 23rd of February for 12 weeks. All the details are at financialcopyu.com, or search for Glenn Fisher copywriter or something. You'll find me eventually. I think I've overtaken the hockey player, the Canadian hockey player, as the most famous Glenn Fisher online.
Okay.
It's give and take for a while, but I think I'm there now.
You're definitely in the running, for sure. Maybe you have taken him over.
All right. Glenn, thank you for coming on, man. A lot of great information, and I'm just going to add one thing. You mentioned earlier people thinking financial copy, all of the regulations, it's not going to be fun. I have found in my own career that, and I've worked in a lot of highly regulated industries, a lot of times the regulations, the guidelines, the structures that you have to fall within, they bring out some of the most creative aspects of your work. So if that's a deal killer Absolutely. For some people, I would say look at it at the frame that working within specific guidelines tends to make your brain work harder, make your creative side come out even more. So I definitely like that you mentioned that. And we will make sure to put links to where people can find you and where people can get signed up in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And thanks again for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, man. As you say, brilliant point. It, the greatest art in the world is often dictated and made by limitation.
Yeah.
I defy you to find me a great artist, be it music, painting, literature, or anything. It's probably mainly defined by the limitation. If you've got legal constraints and stuff, you have to get creative. So that's the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. Until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Stop using the hero's journey in your sales copy. My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today.